कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम हरे राम राम हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण हरे हरे राम हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम हरे राम हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूधरे श्रीमद् भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रजारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणी भज श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्रीअद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ध्यायतो विषय पुंसान् संगस्तेषूपजायते संगाल् संजायते कामान् कामाल् क्रोधोऽभिजायते क्रोधाल् भवति सम्मोह सम्मोहाल् स्मृतिविभ्रमाः स्मृतिभ्रंशाल् बुद्धिनाशो बुद्धिनाशाल् प्रणश्यति सो दीस् टू वर्सेस् वी डिस्कस् यस्टर्डे एण्ड् दे आर् सम् आफ् द मोस्ट् इम्पोर्टेण्ट् वर्सेस् इन् दि Bhagavad-gita, because it is in the light of these verses you can analyze this whole world, and there is nowhere else this knowledge what Krishna has given in these two verses existing. It is so much on a subtle level. Krishna is telling us that how things develop within us in our constitution with this body, mind and the senses, how we are developing this ragadvesham, and eventually develops into lose of intelligence and turns out into a fight. So the thing is, these verses are very important, these two verses. That's why we spend a lot of time talking about yesterday. And if something is not understood, please ask about these two verses, because we want to get that very clear in our head, the subtlety of these verses. They are so subtle, it's not available in any psychological text, they don't know about it, it only there in the Bhagavad Gita. If somebody has taken it from Bhagavad Gita later, I don't know about it. But Bhagavad Gita is telling us something which is so important in life to know, how problems comes in life. The world wars have come from these two verses. If you have understood these verses, you won't be surprised that the world war has happened. It is such an important verses, these two. So, we'll look through that verse again a little bit before we go in further. Krishna says, Dhyayato Vishayapumsam. That's how it begins, isn't it? Dhyanam or meditation is where everything begins. Krishna is saying that. Dhyayato Vishayapumsam. Vishaya means sense objects. When meditation on sense objects starts, Krishna is saying that the Sangastheshu Bhajayate, if you understand this clearly, then you can be careful about it. You can be cautious about it, isn't it? Dhyayato Vishayapumsam Sangastheshu Bhajayate. Krishna is saying Sangam or attachment develops inside because of Dhyanam, meditation of a particular topic. Any sense object, if you meditate inside, it will develop in the form of attachment later. Prior to Dhyanam, there are few things that also we spoke yesterday. As soon as you have a contact with this world, with an individual or a sense object or anything, it will develop in the form of a chitavritti inside. A vritti starts inside. Vritti, when it gets, if the thought develops stronger about an object or a person, that vritti becomes stronger and eventually it turns into samskaram. It becomes a samskara in us. Once it has become samskar, then it has got life in it. And from samskaram, life develops, and then samskaram will be very much inside us. That samskaram will drive us. But the problem there is that from samskaram, it turns into vasana. Once it has become vasana, then it has to happen. There is no other way. Do you understand the difference? Once from samskaram, it has become a vasana. That means then vasana is controlling you. Up to the point of samskaram, if you can do something, you can escape from that. You see? When there is vritti, if you are conscious, if you are alert enough, if any it becomes a vritti, if you stop that not to repeat again and allow not to strengthen the vritti stronger, it becomes thick inside, you can escape from that. Once it has become a samskar, then it is difficult. It has got life by then. It has got its own life. Then it doesn't require your effort. It will work. But when samskaram turns into vasana, once it has become vasana, then it has to be burned out inside in a person. So these are the three steps. Chittavritti, samskaram, vasana. One by one it follows, right? So Krishna is saying, if you look into anything in this world with a mind, with a thought behind it, and you start finding good and bad in things, nanma and tenma they call it, that it's right thing and the bad, good thing and the bad thing. If you start seeing objects in that way, Krishna's point is that you will develop ragam dvesham. That is a duality of this world. Nature of the world is like that. And the mind is interacting with the world at that point. So, ragam dvesham. If something is good, you will develop ragam, attachment to that. If something is bad, you will develop aversion to that. So, raga dvesham is coming from this, seeing something is good and something is bad. Remember always, Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna is saying, there's nothing good in this bad, nothing bad in this bad, in this world. Neither good nor kim badram kim abhadram va. There's nothing here to think about as good and bad. There's nothing important here to think about. So, thing is, once any thought comes to our mind that something is good, immediately attachment will develop inside. Or if something is bad, immediately aversion will also develop. Krishna says, if you are able to not allow this to happen inside, then you can deal with this whole world all the time. Nothing will happen. But the moment ragadvesham has developed inside, then it will turn into vritti, Chittavritti will happen inside and the mind will move. Mind will not be peaceful anymore. Mind will start getting affected by that. So when once the mind starts working, then the business is already on. It's on. That's where Dhyayado Vishaya Pumsam comes. Dhyanam starts. Dhyanam is not just meditation what we do in the cave or in the mountain. Dhyanam is this, that all the time thinking about something. That's Dhyanam. So Dhyayado Vishaya Pumsam, if you meditate on any Vishayam, Krishna is saying, Sangam will happen, must happen. He says, Sangaste Shubhajayate, Sangam will develop at that point. Then Krishna says that Sangal Sanjayade Kamam. So Sangam, what will turn into? It will having a desire to have it. A desire to possess something, possessiveness develops at that point when it has become Sangam. From Sangam, it will turn into possessiveness, desire to possess something. Sanjayade Kamam. Kamal Krodhobi Jayade. Kamam will develop into Krodham. That also we saw yesterday how it turns into Krodham. Because Kamam, why does it turn into Krodham? That's an interesting question. The reason for that is we have in our mind this understanding that distress we don't want, happiness we want. So because it is like that, when something is bringing distress, we think that anger develops straight away inside. So, therefore, Krishna is saying that Krodham, once it has developed into Krodham, Krodham will develop into Krodham, Krodhal Bhavadi, Samoham. Moham, delusion will happen. Samohal Smriti Vibhramam. Vibhramam means we forget about your identity. Smriti Bhramshal Buddhi Nasham. With the result of that is you have lost your proper consciousness that what you have to do here. You have completely lost it. Buddhinashal Pranashari. That is the sequence. Now, what I was telling was that people think that world wars and all the wars in the world started today or 1939 to 1945. They say the Second World War started. But the Second World War started much before than that. If you understand these verses. Already those involved in that war, Dhyanam was going on inside, in their mind. And prior to Dhyanam, the Chittavrittis were happening inside. And Chittam was already thickening and thickening inside. It has become a samskaram, it has become a vasana. Only thing is, 1939, it developed into the last stage, Buddhi Nashal Pranashyadi. That's when the war started. So, externally it started in 1939, but internally it started way before that. Way before that. When the parties involved were meditating on that, there itself the war has started. So the thing is this, that these two verses were given so importance in the Bhagavad Gita, these two particular verses. And it is important to constantly reflect on these two verses and keep ourselves on the safe side, not to get victimized by these things. And Krishna also said one important thing. Whatever vasanas we have already created, keep that away for the moment, he says. Because once it has come to the vasana stage, it's very difficult to get over it. But not to create new vasanas, that's the point Krishna is talking about now. He says, how not to create any more new vasanas. If you remember these two verses, at least new vasanas you can avoid, not to develop again. But the past vasanas, what's already been created, that is very difficult unless the vasana is exhausted by vasana kshayam. They call it vasana kshayam. That means it has to, and we have been given this body and the prarabdham that comes along with it in order that vasanas are extinguished in this body, whatever past vasanas are inside. You can also see that these subtle vasanas inside comes up in the dream. In different forms. Like somebody, we had some problem with someone long years ago. Somebody we didn't like, or some problem we had with someone. That can come up after 20, 30, 40 years. It can come up inside and disturb your sleep. And you wonder the power of the mind at that time, that it has stored up 40 years, this vritti inside was there, kept very safeguarded, and when it got the right opportunity, it came out in some dream or some state like that. So that's all is involved in those two verses. And the in order to safeguard ourselves, Krishna is saying to us that if you take care of these things, at least the new vasanas won't develop, even though the old vasanas are still there. If you create, whereas on the other hand, if you keep on creating new vasanas, there is no possibility of getting out of this cycle of birth and death. Because liberated soul means no vasanas inside, isn't it? There's no vasanas in the liberated soul. So from that point of view, Krishna's request to us is that you don't take this verses very seriously. And we also saw how Krishna himself used these verses, the message in these verses, to Shishupala and Dandavaktra. I mentioned that yesterday, didn't I? That in front of Shishupala, Krishna went and stood there as his enemy. And Krishna knows that already the Chittavritti is going on inside Shishupala's mind to hate Krishna. Krishna's hating Krishna was there already inside. And therefore, the only thing Krishna could do with Shishupala was somehow or the other strengthen that hate so that he can be given liberation at the end. That's the powerful mind inside. Krishna recognizes that. He says, with Shishupala, only thing I can do now is that he won't take to the process of bhakti. His bhakti has to be the samrambha yogam. That's called in the Bhagavadam. So because it is like that, he deliberately provocations from Krishna's side to Shishupala so that he hates more and more of Krishna, and eventually Krishna grants him the liberation. So so in the Bhagavadam it is called samrambha yogam, and in the seventh canto you will see Krishna's Sri Narada Maharshi talks about this to Yudhishthira Maharaj, because Yudhishthira Maharaj had this question. In Saptama Skandam, you will see this question, interesting question. In the Rajasuyam sacrifice, when they were all sitting together, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked this question to Sri Narada Maharshi. I was very surprised in that Rajasuyam sacrifice that Shishupala was given liberation by Krishna. And this Shishupala has not even once chanted the holy name, not once washed Krishna's feet, not once taken prasadam, nothing he has done. All he has done throughout his life was just constantly abusing Krishna. This is all what he has done, nothing else. And Krishna goes and gives him liberation, because they also directly getting liberated. When Shishupala's head was cut off, the spiritual spark from inside comes and merges at Krishna's lotus feet, like that. That picture you must have seen in the Bhagavadam photographs also. Devotees have drawn that picture. So Yudhishthira is saying to Yudhishthira is in a confused state at that moment. He says to Sri Narada Maharshi, I have done so much, try to please Krishna. I have done all this. Rajasuyam sacrifice also was to glorify Krishna. And Krishna goes and gives liberation to him and not to me. This was the thought going through Yudhishthira's mind. So Yudhishthira Maharaj asked this question to Sri Narada Maharshi straightforward. Can you tell me why this is like that? What should I do now? Because I am here, Yudhishthira Maharaj is saying that I am here, I haven't gone back to the spiritual world, I have not gone back to Krishna. Whereas Shishupala, who has done all these things, he has gone back to Krishna. This doesn't look right, he says. So it is then that Sri Narada Maharshi had to explain it, the principle behind it. And that's why he mentioned that, Yadha vairanubandena martyatanma yadamiyad, yadha bhakti yogena itime nishchidamati. That vairagyam, yadha vairanubandena, that vairam means enmity. The mood of enmity, what Shishupala has created, none of you could create against Krishna. That strong was that enmity. And it is the same thing with Hiranyakashipu also, and the same thing with Ravana. They were all such personalities. They created such strong enmity towards Krishna that they became liberated. So it is not a question whether we love or hate Krishna. The question is how much our mind becomes absorbed in Krishna. In whichever way it is, doesn't matter. Either through love or through hate. whichever way, if you become absorbed in Krishna, you are liberated. You can escape from the material world. And they have all succeeded in these things. Both Shishupal, Ravana and Hiranyakashipu, they all succeeded in that. So, that strength, because their meditation is stronger than a meditation of a devotee. That is an important thing. When Hiranyakashipu was meditating on Vishnu, Narasimhamurti, Shishupal was meditating on Krishna, Ravana was meditating on Ramachandra, all three of them, their meditation was much more powerful than devotees' meditation on Krishna or Ramachandra or Narasimhamurti. Do you see? So, the important thing is, it is not how you meditate, how strong your meditation is. That's more important. And that's all coming from these two verses. That's what Krishna is pointing out to us. That if your meditation power is very strong, dhyanam. And what is meditation power? Meditation power means this. Constantly thinking about something. Uninterrupted thoughts centered around that object. That means if our thoughts are around Krishna all the time, non-stop, throughout the day, throughout the night, eventually we have to go back to spiritual world. That is when you qualify to go back. Now, that is the requirement from us. But that can be done in two ways, Krishna is saying, either through bhakti or through vairam, enmity. These personalities, they have done through enmity. But Narada Maharshi says, we did through love, through bhakti. So, the difference between the loving relationship and the inimical relationship is this. Inimical relationship is more powerful than the loving relationship. That we know in this world. If you love somebody or if you have feeling for someone, you will just make it a little bit, you will show a little concession over there. But if there is enmity towards anyone, you won't show any concession on that. You will become, day by day, it will brew inside strongly. And that's, you can see from your own mind. If you look back at your own inside, you will see that. So Krishna is saying, out of these two things, the inimical relationship, the problem is that you will have no peace in this life here. All the time, mind will be very disturbed. No peace inside. And you will have to become very strong in that way. That to take that. Whereas, devotional relationship means, the benefit is, that you will have shanti inside. Happiness, peaceful inside. And eventually, you will develop that proper relationship with Krishna in the form of love, bhakti. Bhakti will develop properly. So, these principles are also involved in these two verses. This is the point I wanted to make. So, Krishna saying that, an important thing. We also mention one thing important. As far as objects of this world, material things are concerned, or other persons are concerned, we should not glorify them, we should not condemn them. Both of them are equally bad. Krishna is concerned, you should glorify him or you should condemn him. This is the difference between Krishna and the material world. In material world, if you get absorbed in glorification, condemnation, you will suffer. If you glorify and condemn Krishna, you will advance spiritually. This is another important point to remember here. That these are all the subtle aspects of these verses. That when you understand these things, then you can say that you understood Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, simply reading verses and chanting verses is not good enough. These subtleties is that makes Bhagavad Gita more attractive to anyone who has read and understood it properly. All the great acharyas have brought these things out from Bhagavad Gita so beautifully that their commentaries are always recognized for these things, that they can see through these things so much in depth, that Krishna has the brilliance in that coming out through this. The Upanishad's knowledge is so beautifully present through Bhagavad Gita. So, Dhyayado Vishayapamsan Sangasteshuva Jayade. Keep repeating that verses inside. Sangal Sanjayade Kamam Kamal Krodhobi Jayade. Krodhal Bhavadi Samoha Samohal Smriti Vibhrama Smriti Bhramshal Buddhinasham Buddhinashal Pranashari. We also saw what it means, isn't it? Samoham Smriti Vibhramam Buddhinasham. Three things. How that delusion develops inside. How is that delusion? We gave the example. There's a rope and the snake. And the rope never turns into snake. But we have accepted it as snake inside. Similarly, the body is like a snake. The feeling, identification with the body is the snake. Truthfully, we are the soul. Isn't it? The soul is what we are, the reality. But body is the snake. We superimposed our understanding as individuals, our identity with the body, with the snake. That's first mistake. That is called samoha. Smriti vibhramam. Smriti vibhramam means we have forgotten our identification of the soul. These are three different things. You should not think that they are all the same thing. They are three different things. First mistake is samoham, delusion, where we identified, we took body as in us as the body. Secondly, smriti vibhramam, forgetfulness of our identity as the soul. And the third thing, Krishna says, samoham, smriti vibhramam, what will happen is buddhinasham. Buddhinasham means we have lost that whole understanding of the our identification with the soul, and we are completely functioning in this world on this false platform of body. That's buddhinasham. Is that clear now? Buddhinasham is that thing, operating in this world on a false platform on the bodily level. Our dealings with this world, transactions in this world, it's all false actually. And I know these are very subtle things, and it's very difficult to get through the message to everyone. It's not possible. When it is in a very gross level, when there is no understanding of these things, people will simply behave like animals. There will be absolutely no difference between animals and the human society. When you watch all these wars, what's going on in this world, and if they read these two verses and take this knowledge, how could they fight? You have to ask that question. How can people fight and kill each other if they understand these verses? The fact that this knowledge hasn't gone into their heads, and identification completely with the body, thinking that they are the body and trying to find a solution to all their problems on a bodily level, Krishna is saying it's not going to work. Because you have meditated on this from long time ago, decided to fight already. And whenever any big leaders make statements, you have to analyze all that in the light of these two verses, what Krishna has spoken. So, coming back, so those two things important. And then, those who have, Krishna mentioned also that in the Bhagavadam we also mentioned that anyone who has spoken about Krishna, even on an insulting way, they have escaped from this world. So, as long as we don't allow anyone to get inside us, we are safe. We don't allow anyone to get inside. Then we are safe. Then chittavritti won't happen. So, the interesting thing is that we can do things in this world. There is no harm. Anything you can do, but not allow that to get in. Once it gets in and becomes, chittavritti begins, then the problem will start. So, that is the reason. You have to deal with the world, vyavaharam, in a particular way. While doing vyavaharam, you should be fixed in the soul and the knowledge what Krishna has given to us. Then you can conduct the dealings with this world. Then it is safe. But if you are not anchored there and identify with the body and then deal with the world, then you'll be in trouble. Nobody can escape. Once you start transactions with this world, your hands will get burned. That is the nature of vyavaharam. Vyavaharam, you can't escape from that. That's why very advanced people, they generally tend to keep away from this world. Because they know their goal is different. They have already accepted Krishna's instructions wholeheartedly, without questioning. So therefore, they won't get involved in this world. The world is concerned, it belongs to material nature. It's Maya's world, this is Maya's creation. She has a way of running this place, and she will run it accordingly. And it's not going to be affected by, it's not in our control. That we have to recognize first, it's not in our control. If we start thinking that we will change this world, we will get it right, this and that, then we are in that samoham has already come into our head. That's what it means. So, unfortunately, as I mentioned yesterday, that this understanding is not very good in these days in the spiritual world, in the modern spiritual world. So many institutions are all trying to mix materialism with spirituality. If you try mixing these two things, it will flop. It won't work. So, what expected of us from Krishna's point of view is that material consciousness is strong in us, isn't it? It's already there in us. Bring it over and burn it in the knowledge of Krishna. That's what we are supposed to do. But what are we doing now? We are bringing Krishna and burning it into materialism. And this is where everything is going wrong. And so long as we do that, what will happen is, as I talked about it yesterday, that our mind will become stronger because of this craftiness in us, you know, this special crookedness in us. Mind is like that. It will become crooked and it will start working, and mind will become very sharp. Mind will become very sharp. If you start commercializing Krishna consciousness, I'm saying this. Once you start commercializing Krishna consciousness, this will end up like this. That mind will become very sharp, the ego will become very cunning and clever, and eventually the whole thing will end up in disaster. That is the reason we have to separate it out. We have to leave material life as it is. We have to keep Krishna consciousness in its position, where it is meant to be. Not to bring it and dilute it with the material life and then make a mockery of the whole thing. And that is what's happening nowadays. A lot it's happening. And we are trying to give a twist to spirituality. Techniques, your tricks will not work in spiritual life. We have to continuously repeat this point because our mind is very crooked. And mind will tell you all the time, let us introduce some new technique or let us introduce some new trick to make it a success. It's our conditioning, it's like that. And especially if you have come from universities and colleges with big degrees and qualifications, you will not be able to accept certain things from Bhagavad Gita because the intelligence is a block for you at that time. And you may have experienced different ways of doing things in your work or in the office or in the university when you have studied. And you may have thought that I'm intelligent. But when it comes to Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, we have to just throw our intelligence away and take Krishna's shelter straight away. There's no other option left there. All acharyas have done that. All devotees have done that. That's how they manage to understand Krishna's words. Otherwise, it's not possible. So we have to be surrendered to Krishna to accept Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, Bhagavad Gita won't get in. Surrender is the key word there. So coming back to that point, as I mentioned yesterday, if we don't allow, so shanti, in the bhakti process, the advantage is there is shanti, peace, and there is happiness, anandam there, bliss, in bhakti process. These two things are missing in the vaira process. Samrambha yogam, they are missing, these two points. That's the only difference, there's no other difference. In bhakti process, you have peace, and you have bliss. Both are there in the bhakti. In the Samrambha Yogam, these two are missing. That's all. Otherwise, as far as Krishna is concerned, both are equal. We are thinking we are devotees, others are all demons, and we... No. As far as Krishna is concerned, demons and devotees are equal. They are equal. There's no difference. He will choose a demon in place of a devotee if his meditation is stronger than a devotee's meditation. Although we may say, oh, devotees, we are all devotees, so Krishna prefers us than them. No, it's not necessary like that. That's the point Narada Maharshi was talking to Yudhishthira. That you get priority if your meditation is stronger on Krishna. So that is where the strengthening is required. How to meditate on Krishna all the time. How to become that a part of our meditation throughout life. So sadhana is all for supporting that. That's all it is. So that you are chanting all the time, to bring that meditation and make it stronger in us, that meditation of Krishna. So that's bhakti. So then, we have to, under no circumstances, Krishna saying that sense enjoyment thoughts not allow that to get in. Not allow the sense enjoyment to get in. Reason for that is that, let's explain, look at these words. That mind is like a Mahavyakram. Mahavyakram means a powerful tiger. Mind is like a powerful tiger. And sense enjoyment is like a forest compared to a forest. So this powerful tiger is wandering around in that forest. Which one? The mind. So it says here, Mano Nama Mahavyakram. Mahavyakram means a powerful tiger called mind. Visayaranya Bhumishu. Visayaranya means the forest of sense enjoyment. It is in the Bhagavatam also, you know that. Forest of enjoyment, that chapter if you read, in the fifth canto, Sudeva Goswami explains that. Charatyatrana Gacchandu Sadhavo Ye Mumukshava. So, the in the forest of this sense enjoyment, when this powerful tiger called the mind, they will not allow the tiger to go into that forest, to the forest of sense enjoyment. Who? Mumukshava. Sadhava Mumukshava. Mumukshava means one who is desiring for liberation, or one who is looking for spiritual realization or self-realization. He will not allow this mind, the tiger of the mind, to go into the forest of sense enjoyment. Why? Because once it goes in, chittavritti will develop into samskaram, develop into vasana. Eventually we have to accept another material body. So before we thinking about liberation, first thing we have to do is to not allow another life to develop through creating new vasanas. And then in this lifetime, we have to burn all the vasanas what you have brought with us. If those two things have happened, then you are freed from the clutches of karma. You are out of karma. So there is a lot of work to do before we talking about liberation. People misunderstand. They think that I have got initiated, I'm chanting 16 rounds, I'm off. It doesn't work like that. It's not that simple. Because if it was that simple, Krishna wouldn't have spoken all these things in the Bhagavad Gita. So it's not trying to make it difficult, but we must know what it is, isn't it? That's the right thing to do. To know what it is Krishna is saying and act on that level, understanding. So, Krishna says, that is Manonama Mahavyakram Vishayaranya Bhumishu Charatyatrana Gacchandu Sadhavo Ye Mamukshava. So, once you allow this tiger to go in, then what will happen is that very tiger will eat us. Once it has gone into the field of the forest of sense enjoyment. So, once contact with sense object means, we will start thinking about the... contact with the sense objects means, we will start thinking about the sense objects. And that will become a cause of our fall down. We will fall straight away. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto, there are some important chapters there in the 7th canto. 7th canto is Prahlada's story, isn't it? 7th canto is Prahlada's story. There are two chapters at the very end. It is called Sadajara Nirnayam. Sadajara Nirnayam means, how should a man live in this world in the proper way? Yeah. And there, Sri Narada Maharshi is talking to Yudhishthira Maharaj. These are the last two chapters of the 7th canto, 14th and 15th chapter. In there, Narada Maharshi says to Yudhishthira, Brahmachari Grahastham Vanaprastham Sanyasam, 4 ashramam. Brahmanam, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, 4 Varna. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj asked a question about Varnashrama Dharmam to Narada Maharshi. Now, if you look into 7th canto seriously, you will see whole Prahlada story was discussed. Right? Prahlada story was discussed. 7th canto is whole Prahlada story, isn't it? The most important personality in the Bhagavatam is Prahlada. Although a demoniac child, but that devotee's purity, nobody can question that, isn't it? For that child's sake, Krishna came as Narasimha Murti in this world. Sridharacharya Swamiji, who is the commentator, famous commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam, he was a devotee of Narasimha Murti. He was not worshipping Krishna's form. He worshipped Narasimha Murti's form. That's why he said that Aham Veti, Shugo Veti, Vyaso Veti, Narada Veti, Sridhara Sagalam Veti. Means, Lord Shiva is saying, I understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Shuka Maharshi, Sukadeva Goswami understands Srimad Bhagavatam. Vedavyasa Maharshi understands Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada Maharshi understand Srimad Bhagavatam. We all understand Bhagavatam, but Sridhara Swami understands everything about Bhagavatam. Yeah? Sridhara Sagalam Veti. What is the reason for that? Shri Narasimha Prasadada. Narasimha Murti has given that mercy to him, that you understand everything about Bhagavatam. And I mentioned before also who this Sridhara Swami is, isn't it? Muchukunda, who in the 10th canto we saw the story of Muchukunda. It's Muchukunda who has come as Sridhara Swami. Because when Muchukunda left his body, Krishna gave this instruction to him. Muchukunda said, I want to go back to spiritual world. Krishna says, yes, you can go back, but you may have to come down once again, he said to him. And he had to come as Sridhara Swami. So Sridhara Swami came here with that background behind him. And when he wrote this commentary, he was a devotee of Narasimhamurti. So this Narasimhamurti and Prahlada is the seventh canto all about. And I also mentioned there that Vedavyasa Maharshi, after speaking the sixth canto in the Bhagavatam, felt in great ecstasy. He was in so much ecstasy that he could not continue Bhagavatam. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see these things. You have to carefully observe these things. Then only you will understand. So, Vedavyasa Maharshi, why did he got so ecstatic for him when Ajamila's story was spoken? You see, Ajamila's story has moved. Vedavyasa Maharshi started crying after that. Tears were coming. He couldn't speak anymore. And Ganesh was sitting there to write it down. So, interruption happened. It was then that Srinara Maharshi told Vedavyasa, now you stop, I will dictate the thing. So if you look into that 7th canto, you will not see Sri Shuka Vaja, it's all Sri Narada Vaja. There. Narada Maharshi is dictating now on behalf of Vedavyas. And because that's one reason. Vedavyasa Maharshi went into ecstasy and Sri Narada Maharshi started speaking. Second reason, when it came to Prahlada, Narada Maharshi thought nobody else can talk about him except me, because it is his disciple, direct disciple, isn't it? Narada Maharshi came to that stage. Narada Maharshi had a much more attachment to Prahlada than even Dhruva. Dhruva Maharaj, he guided him in the right way and left him there, but gave him the Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya to chant and left him in the forest to go and do it. But Prahlada, no. In the womb, he made sure that the message gets in. That's the beauty of that 7th canto. So this Prahlada's story is the whole of 7th canto. After hearing whole of 7th canto, at the end, this story of Prahlada's story and everything, Yudhishthira Maharaj started thinking, how can I become like Prahlada? Yudhishthira's mind went in that direction, how to become like Prahlada. So it was then that Narada Maharshi spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj, this will only happen if there is Chitta Shuddhi. Prahlada's heart inside was so pure. No vasanas inside. Totally zero inside. So, Yudhishthira was asking how to develop that consciousness. So, in order to do that, the important thing from Narada Maharshi was, we have to have Varnashrama Dharma. Varnam and Ashramam was created by Krishna for this reason only, to develop Chitta Shuddhi inside. So, while talking about that, Sridharana Maharshi discussed about Vanaprastham. He discussed about Sannyasi. He discussed about Brahmachari. Brahmachari, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam. Three ashramams he discussed. And then he also discussed Brahmana, Kshatriya, Varnam, Vaishya, Shudra. Four Varnas also. He left householder separately. You will notice in Sridharana Bhagavatam, you will see this. He didn't talk about householder. So Yudhishthira Maharaj thought, does that mean that householders have no hope? This doubt came to his mind. Householders have no hope. Yudhishthira Maharaj said, Sridharana Maharshi told at that point, no, it's not like that. Householders have got hope. So separately, he discussed householders' problem in two chapters. And that is that 14th and 15th chapter. We must read those two chapters whenever you get time. Should go through those two chapters. For householder, very specific and straight instructions. Others, according to Srinarada Maharshi, if they go through their life properly, they may escape. The Brahmachari, provided they live it properly. Brahmachari, Sanaprastham, Sannyasam. There is no Vanaprastham. The way Krishna talks about Vanaprastham, impossible to do it today. Impossible. Similarly, the Brahmachari's life, the way Krishna has spoken, Narada Maharshi has spoken, I can't see one Brahmachari in that way.
Similarly, the sannyasa ashram also, they don't exist, any sannyasi of that standard, what Krishna has mentioned in the Bhagavadam or in the Srinarada Maharshi has mentioned there. But householders, Srinarada Maharshi says, if they do these two chapters, what he has discussed there, he says, if they go through that, they can escape from this world. It's not necessary that only sannyasi is qualified for liberation. Not that a brahmachari is only qualified for liberation. Householder is also qualified for liberation, according to Srimad Bhagavatam. They are also equally qualified. But he's mentioned certain things to us. One of them is that the not allow these things to get in. That's the first thing. In a householder life, most important thing is not to allow things to get inside. Then if it is like that, what is the safe process? Narada Maharshi tells that in that verse, in that chapter. Yavadartam upasido dehe geheja pandida virakto viraktaval tatra nirloge naradam vyahet. What he's saying is here that you should only keep in contact with this world to the minimum what is necessary. Because otherwise, a householder's problem, main problem is that he gets dragged into everything in this world. Isn't it? We know that, don't we? What happens to householder? Householder life is nothing but gets driven by the world outside. Family, extended family, society, community, friends, and then relationship at the work. All these kinds will take his time away in this world. He won't get a time to think about Krishna, in other words. He has no time for it. And the householder will always say, after doing all these things, I have no time for anything. This will be the householder's general excuse, isn't it? That he has no time. So Sri Narada Maharshi said that, Yavadartam upasino dehe geheja pandita. Pandita means a person who is knowledgeable. What he will do in his attachment to his body and the family, geham, house and the body, he will has to minimize to the very, very bare minimum. Virakto viraktaval tatra. That even he has to do something at home, it has to be done in a completely detached mood. In a completely detached mood. Virakto raktavat tatra nrlogeja naradam vyahet. That if a person lives like that in this world, he will not get bound in this world. In other words, what Krishna is saying there, Narada Maharshi is saying there is, that if you act in that way, things won't get inside and disturb your inside. Because we have to safeguard us first before we're doing good to this world. Individually, we have to safeguard ourselves from getting caught in this. It's like a big network outside ready to capture you. If you jump into it, you will be caught. Vyavaharam is like that. So we have to safeguard ourselves. So it's a very skillful dealing required at that point from our side. So whatever vyavaharam or transactions you are doing in this world, what is that is necessary for that? That much contact you can keep with the world. Not more than that. The minimum what is necessary to conduct the minimum things in this world to survive here. That much contact with the world you can keep. Not more than that. Once it is done, once that work is completed, you should withdraw from that and live in seclusion, alone. You should live within your spiritual life, spiritual world. Generally, householders' tendency is like this, that they they will get involved in things and then they don't know how to come out of it. Isn't it? They get pulled into it. They don't know how to come out of it. And they're always in a crisis inside. One side, inside, spirituality is telling us that you have to, it's all useless. On the other hand, the society is pulling you so strongly in that direction. And then most of the cases, what happens is you go with the society rather than the spiritual call inside. So that's where Sri Narada Maharshi's point is very valid. That he's saying that yavadartam upasito dehe geheja pandita virakto raktaval tatra nirloge naradam vyajet. So I'm saying this, that one should withdraw oneself. This is an important message from Sri Narada Maharshi. Now here, there is something very important, more important than that. That if you tell people, or if I tell you, or you tell me in the same way, that, oh, everything is wonderful, everything is so nice, family life is good, it's happy, this, that and the other, you will be happy. I'll also be happy if you tell me like that. Right. But the point is that in order that to get that spiritual realization, in order to get the spiritual realization, that we must remember we are all getting closer to 50, 50 plus in that age group. There is not a lot of time left. To please somebody, we can talk things. Just to please people, that everything is fine, you are alright, you're okay, you'll be alright, don't worry about anything. But we should not go down in that road. It's wrong to do that to people. Once you are hit by, say, 50, you must change your attitude in life. It's important to change our attitude towards life. It's a big shift needed. And it is there most of the people fail to do that. That shift doesn't happen in their life. After that, there is not a lot of time left in life to worry about a lot of things, in other words. So in other words, it says there that the point is, vyavaharam must come down. Loga vyavaharam must come down. What is minimum required has to be done. But in seclusion or alone, one should develop this thought process inside. Seriously, whatever Krishna has spoken about in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, this must become a meditation in us. And that meditative mood is necessary. And to live a life in that way, through meditation and chanting the holy name and analyzing this knowledge, what Krishna has given to us in Bhagavad Gita, this should become a part of us. And the right age, according to Shastram, is by 50. It should start. You may not change your clothes and become saffron and take danda and go away to forest or preach and all that. That may or may not happen. That Krishna has given some people that duty. Let them do that. Leave that to themselves. But individually, personally, each one of us, we have to make this shift within ourselves to move into that consciousness. That's more important. Whether we become sannyasi or not, that's not an important thing. Whether we are developing Krishna consciousness in the way like it is spoken here, that the reading that kind of literature which creates that spiritual thoughts inside. There is so many Pragrana Grandhams available in Shastram, which if one is serious about it, enough to read and to think about it. Many, many important things are discussed there. That's one thing. Secondly, in the olden days, people, not that everybody took sannyas and went away. It was not common. Quite many, few people will take it. Not that everybody took sannyas. It was not common. But everyone did make the shift in life when they get older. That was quite common. Because the problem now and then was, compared to those times was, in those times, life was not like the way we live today. Today, there's so many things in this world in which we are caught up with. Whereas people lived so simple those days that there was not any things to get affected by. Like this cars, televisions, mobile phones and holidays and air travel and all sorts of things that we are doing today didn't exist those days. So their mind was free to absorb in these thoughts quickly without too much giving up. Whereas we have got a lot to give up before we start absorbing in this thought process. So in order, because the consumer society we live in, and there is so many products in this world where you can get dragged into, get attracted to, the our life has become very sense-oriented. Isn't it? It's very much sense-oriented. And if we start doing vyavaharam through all these things, what will happen? We will start thinking about this sense objects. Once you start thinking about the sense objects, you will start getting sticking to it. Sticking will start at that point. Remember we talked about sticking yesterday. And once you start sticking to it, then you will like to have it. And once you like to have it, if that thought comes in, then if you don't get it, you will get angry. And once anger comes, develops inside, as Krishna said, intelligence will be lost. Dandam ta dandam ta da dandam. It will end up like that. So, so that's why I'm saying these two verses, very, very important verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Mahatma Gandhi was very fond of these two verses. I also heard Vivekananda also was reading, talking about these two verses most of the time. Because they understood the problem in this world is coming from here. All the problems of this world is coming from these two verses. They are telling us where the problem is. So important these verses are, that Krishna has given us the key how to live in this world with this understanding. If you live with this understanding, Krishna is saying that nothing will happen. You will escape from here. So, so whatever we have to do in this world, and to avoid that connection with the world to the maximum possible and do the very minimum, to that extent, Vishaya Sambarkam. Vishaya Sambarkam means it's not all the five senses are always open to this world, isn't it? You know the five senses, don't you? Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. These five senses are wide open to this world, and they are waiting to make contact with the sense objects. And if we become alert and aware of these things, they will not allow things to get into inside. Once they get inside, then it is a problem. So, there is a verse about that. It says here that the 39. Ekandastiti. Ekandastiti means Ekandastiti means that the being alone. The quality of a spiritual personality is that he will live alone. He would not depend on others for his happiness. We want happiness from other people. That's why we like to live together, and we take great pleasure in that, isn't it? Being alone means you are always thinking, oh, what a miserable life this is. But it is not. It's actually very conducive for spiritual life, to being alone in life. So, ekandastiti indriyobaramane hedur damaschetasa samrodhe karanam shamene vilayam ayadaham vasana tenananda rasanubhuti achala brahmi sada yogina tasmal chindanirodham chittanirodham eva sadadam karya prayatnau mune. It's a definition of a person who is making progress in spiritual path. What he does, that's what is discussed in that. My dear son, if you want to know the truth, if you want to get the truth in your hand at the end, I'll give you a clue for that. The clue is this, that don't get involved with anyone in this world. And as much as time allows you, stay aloof from everything, being alone. Because you can see, only when you are alone, you can think about all these things, isn't it? If you are in the company of so many people, you always have to look after their interests, look into two people means talking will start straight away, and then arguments will develop, then there will be fight, or there will be some other interaction. So all these things, Krishna's point is, you can avoid. In the Bhagavad Gita, Vivikta Desha Sevitvam, Krishna says, Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Shanti, Arjavam, Acharyopasanam, Shaujam, Sthairyam, Atmavinigraham, Indriyarteshu Vairagyam, Anahangaram, Janma, Mrityu, Jaravyadi, Dukha, Doshanu, Darshanam. Then after that, in one verse, Krishna is saying, Asakti, Anabhishanga, Putradhara, Grihadishu, Nityanja, Samachitvatvam, Ishta, Nishtopa, Patrishu. Then he says, Mai Jan, Ananya Yogena, Bhakti, Avyabhijarini. So, in order to develop that pure devotion for Krishna, Maijan Ananya Yogena Bhakti Avyabhijarini. Avyabhijarini means pure Krishna consciousness. What is required is Vivikta Desha Sevitvam. Vivikta Desha Sevitvam means staying in seclusion, being alone all the time. Now, being alone means what? That is also an important point. Being alone means that even if you are in the middle of others, you are not affected by that. That is being alone. That's a yogi state. But before that happens, we have to become stronger inside. How not to be affected by others' presence in the family, presence in the society and all that. So, Vivekta Desha Sevitvam Aradir Janasamsadi, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that Janasamsadi means mixing with the lots of people unnecessarily. That won't help. Vivekta Desha Sevitvam, staying aloof from living in places which is conducive for spiritual life, being alone. One way, Western world is fortunate that way, because due to the power of this weather and all that, influence of the weather, we are forced to be in loneliness. Whereas you go to India, you can never have any loneliness there, unless you go to Himalayas. There will be constant, regular flow of visitors to the house. And they'll be related to so far away, but they will come and visit you. And what do you do that? You have to fight from morning to night, telling the visitors something and to escape from them. You have to take. So we are fortunate. We don't think that Western world is all that bad. It's good to be here. You can escape from that misery, that you have to face this relative business. Whole day, night, the visitors come and they'll stay with you, and then you have to look after all their needs, and they have no interest in spiritual life. Then it gets worse. Then you are stuck. And some people I've seen that they get absorbed so much in that. And people who have not seen you throughout life, they'll come one day suddenly with a marriage invitation. Come to your house, inviting you for the marriage. You have not even seen them throughout your life. And they'll come with this marriage invitation. And then they have to tell you what your relationship is with them. That even you don't know. They come like this. I don't know whether you know this, that this daily happens there. And then they come and they'll make sure that you'll go for the marriage. If you don't go, then it will end up in a serious problem. So then what happens? You have to go for the marriage. Go for the marriage means you can't go empty-handed like that, isn't it? Then you have to... So such a funny world this is. And in the middle of this, you are trying to study Bhagavad Gita. But what is going to happen there? Everything will fail. So we are fortunate. We are not unfortunate. We are very fortunate that due to these weather conditions, not many people will disturb you. At least 6 months in the winter, they leave you alone. It's only in the summer, the whole life becomes very active in April, May, and then it'll finish by October. So remaining 6 months at least, we can stay aloof to do some thoughts of Bhagavad Gita and other literature like that and absorb in that. So utilizing such opportunity is intelligence properly. Utilizing it. Because for us, priority is Krishna's words, not all these things. Marriages and Shraddha ceremonies and all other kind of things. This will go on in this world. You can't be bothered too much about all that. But Krishna says here, Ekandasthiti. Ekandasthiti is important. Why? Indriyobaramanav. Only if you stay in seclusion, sense control will get stronger. You'll become more controlling nature of your senses will power. Control power of senses will develop strongly. See, in Ekandam what happens? You don't allow the senses to act freely, isn't it? You are forced to control them, the Ekandasthiti. So once the senses are controlled like that, naturally, even when you have to mix with the world, the senses won't go crazy. It won't go crazy. Provided you have developed this nature of Ekandasthiti. Ekandasthiti indriyobaramane hedur damaschetasa. Dhamma means senses of the control of the senses. Shamam means control of the mind. So shamam and dhamam both are essential qualities for a devotee or a jnani. Both of them requires that. Shamam dhamam titiksha ubarati shraddha samadhanam. Six qualities needed for a spiritually aspiring person. These six. Out of that, the first two are shamam and dhamam. So, where does shamam and dhamam come from? Shamam and dhamam come from when you are in seclusion, when you are alone. And that loneliness, initially you have to practice it on your own. But later on, if you have practiced it properly, even in the middle of so many other people, you will be able to maintain that seclusion within yourself, inside. So, Ekandasthiti indriyobaramano hedur damaschetasa. Dhamam controlling the senses and shamam is controlling the mind. Samrodhe karanam shamene vilayam yayad aham vasana. This is important. that when shamam dhamam is practiced very well inside, aham vasana, that I am, that will start sprouting inside. Because you see, people ask this question, how do I fix my thoughts around the soul? Isn't it? When we talk about that, remember, we spoke about fixing our center inside, centered around the soul, shifting attention from the ego to the center of the soul. People ask that question. How do we do that? The answer to that is this, that you stay aloof first. First you have to stay aloof. Not talking to millions of people on the mobile and then I want to control my mind and senses and fixed on the soul. That won't happen. You have to throw your mobiles away and peacefully sit in one place and start thinking about that. And it says there that vilayam yayad aham vasana, that false ego at that point will dissolve itself. If you live on in that way, false ego will dissolve itself. Okay? And what will happen? Yayad aham vasana. Aham vasana, that spuranam from inside, spirit soul I am, this will start coming out in a natural way. We have never practiced these things. That is why we are thinking how to do it. How, for us, everything is how to do it. How to do it. How to do it. We keep asking people. How to do it means you have to withdraw yourself from the world and live yourself, within yourself. And then it will happen in a natural way. We don't have time for that. Because we want to finish this and start next one, next project. It's already lined up. So this is how we live in this world. One project after another project. In the morning when you get up, oh, what all I have to do, things to do today. A list there. So in the middle of that, I'm trying to fit in my spiritual life also. So this is where the problem is coming. So at least if we act it sensibly, a lot of these things, if we can avoid it. But those who have to be done, essentially we should do that and finish with it and come back to our own spiritual activity, rather than getting completely caught up in that whole cycle. So, yaya samrodhe karanam shamena vilayam yaya daham vasana tena ananda rasana bhuti ajala brahmi stada yoginam. That all the yogis, this is why they go to the forest, for this reason only. So that they don't have to constantly endeavor very hard for their increase their material life, in other words. And Brahmi Sthiti, that's what the word used here. Tena ananda rasana bhuti ajala Brahmi sada yogina. Yogis are in that Brahmi Sthiti. Krishna will mention the Brahmi Sthiti later in this chapter. The last verse is all about Brahmi Sthiti. That achalam, that is unshaking, that doesn't shake anymore. Mind is sort of fixed in that. That ananda rasana bhuti. Anandam is there and the rasam from the soul is dripping out. The nature of the soul, from Shastram is telling us, it is a blissful thing called a soul. And we have no experience of this bliss anytime, do we? We have no experience of bliss anytime. We don't even know what bliss means. All what we know is how to enjoy the senses. That's all we have learned the whole life. But yogis who are experiencing that blissful state, that is how they are in that peaceful state, they are able to stay. Tasmal chitta nirodham eva sadadam karya prayatno muni. Therefore, chitta nirodham, that this chittam inside, mind, which is constantly flowing thoughts after thoughts, it should come to a dead stop. For one who has reached that stage, able to control that, chitta nirodham, chitta, Patanjali says that yoga means this, chitta vritti nirodham, stopping that mind flowing like this constantly under the attack of the thoughts and getting disturbed over it, that must come to an end. So once that happens, Krishna says here, that when you are in the alone, the senses, senses, sahajam, sahajam means, it will voluntarily the senses will surrender. Voluntarily they will surrender if you live in loneliness. And once the senses have gone started inwards, the false ego will go and dissolve itself in the soul where it came from. Remember? This is a important thing. Where does the false ego come? It also comes from the soul. Eh? And that's what when Uddhava asked that question to Krishna, that why does this, what do I do? And the question in the Bhagavatam, if you look, remember we were discussing that on a Sunday, that Uddhava asked this question to Krishna, that how do I develop that bhakti, what you are talking about. And Krishna didn't give any answer to that question. Completely ignored the question. And then started another topic, totally different from the question. Sayesha Jivo Vivara Prasudi, he says. And you will see Uddhava's question and Krishna's answer, absolutely no connection. You will think like that. But the answer is there. As I mentioned before, question-answer is not a part of the process. In Upanishads, you will see questions allowed, but answers won't be given to anybody. Any Upanishad you take, Katha Upanishad, Kena Upanishad, Chandokya Upanishad, the famous one, Shvetashvatara, all Upanishads, you will see they have asked questions, but no direct answer is given anywhere. Why is that? Answer is already inside you. It's already there. Only thing, you're not allowed the answer to come out. And unless the answer comes from your own inside, you will never understand the answer properly. You will not absorb it properly. That's the reason the sages, purposefully, they will not answer your question. And that's what Krishna has also done in the Bhagavadam at that point. Sayesha Jivo Vivara Prasudi. So, Vivara means a hole. And Prasudi means it came out through that. Just like a baby comes from the mother's womb, in the same way. Krishna is saying, Jiva came out like that from inside, from the hole, from that, through that hole it came out, and it became out, and then it started all its activities in that process. False ego developed, mind developed, intelligence developed, senses developed, and gross body developed finally. And five or six verses Krishna takes there, that if you go this process, eventually how you can get out of this, and the whole thing will go back through the same hole, back to the soul where it came from. That's what that 7-8 verses, we'll be discussing that in the Bhagavadam later. So, having said that, Krishna says here that false ego will go back into its origin, where it came from, and it will get dissolved there. Where does false ego comes up? False ego comes up like this. Who am I? Identity first starts. I am so and so. And where does this happen? Then I am. If you keep on observing, where did this come out? How did the I develop? In the deep sleep state, you are not experiencing that. This ego is not there, isn't it? Ego is not operating in the deep sleep state. You are not bothered about your false ego at that time. It's only in the awakened state that you have this I business. I've done this, I've done that, I will do this, I'll do that. All kinds of things. So this is the movement of the false ego. Like the mind has got a movement, the false ego also has got a movement. False ego's movement is like this. In the vacant state and the dream state, it will move. I am existing there, isn't it? That means false ego is moving. Whereas in the deep sleep, false ego doesn't move. Why? It's gone and dissolved itself in the deep sleep. That's the beauty of deep sleep. We think that deep sleep is a very horrible state, isn't it? But it is in deep sleep that the false ego goes and dissolves. But the real or proper I is existing there. Isn't it? The self is existing. But this false ego has gone and dissolved at that point. So, deep sleep is an important state. And that is why it is mentioned like this, that once we have false ego has gone and dissolved in that way, that is the state what the realized souls are experiencing in their vacant state. You see, realized souls in their vacant state, they experience this state, dissolved false ego. Only the soul is present for them. False ego doesn't exist. And that you can see from the way they function in this world. If you observe them carefully, you'll see how they function in this world. So, those who are caught up in the grip of senses, they will never understand how to analyze the soul, how to contemplate on the soul. That's not possible. Those who are caught up in the influence of the senses, they will never understand it. They won't be able to get hold of that. On the other hand, if there is enough sufficient purity inside, Chitta Shuddhi, if it is inside, Smriti will be there. Smriti. Krishna talked about Smriti Bramsham, isn't it? That Smriti will come back. What is that Smriti? Comes back as the remembrance of the soul. You see, we are not even getting that the thing called soul inside. And that is our big misfortune, that what we are as spirit soul, we are not even having any memory or any connection with that. And that is Smriti Bhramsham. But Krishna is saying, it is not so difficult to come to this identity with the soul. Although you may not stay in that all the time, at least you will start recognizing that the soul is inside, will come if you follow this process. What Krishna is speaking here about that. Aham Spurti. It is called in Shastram, different words, but all refers to the same thing. That what, as you mentioned here, Smriti also means Spurti. Spurti, the word Spurti is used because Spurti is just like light. It shines through. Yeah. Smriti means it comes through memory. Yeah. Memory means it will wake up inside. Spurti means it starts shining through. So it is called Spurti when it's shining through. When it comes to our memory or we start recognizing it, it's called Smriti. That's all the difference is. But it's one and the same thing. The soul only is doing all these things. Aham Spurti. That I am that thing. And that is what we have lost. That Aham Spurti is what we have lost. Yeah, and today what happened is Aham Spurti is still there, but it is completely mixed up with so many things. Mind, intelligence, senses, ego and the gross body. It's all mixed up together. And most of our attention is on the gross body, so we tend to focus on that issue. And from this, we have to separate it out, my real identity, from this mixture of all these things together. From this we have to separate this out. And separating this out from the rest, Krishna calls a Smriti. So when you separate this self from all the other mixed up things in the body, gross body, mind, intelligence, senses and all that, from that when you separate it out, Krishna says that is called a Smriti. And that Smriti we have lost. Why did this identification with the body becomes so strong? The only reason for that, all the objects what is connected with the body, we started getting connected with that. Those objects which are connected with the body, we started dealing with them seriously. And Chittavritti started, it developed into vasanas and saskar and vasanas, and eventually we got absorbed. That is how we fell into the bodily level, bodily consciousness, from the spiritual consciousness. Therefore, the Sangam happened. Sangal Sanjayade Kamam. And then when Kamam develops, we want to have so many objects in this world. And this is not only in the name of material objects. Desires for position, desire for recognition in this world, they are all this Smriti Bhramsham only. People, you know, when sometimes people in this world, they are not after wealth so much. Some people, they are after position in this world. And that's some people like that. Some other people you will see, they are after fame, like this famous celebrities and all that, isn't it? They want popularity. Every world should know about them. And politicians, big politicians. Some of them have got so much money, they don't need money anymore. What they want is the fame and recognition in the world, isn't it? Because after making a lot of money, some of them feels, what's the use of all these things? What do we do with it? Like you can see the Bill Gates and all that kind of people. So the thing is, Krishna is concerned, all these desires to become famous, to become wealthy, to become have positions in this world, United States President and all kinds of things like that. Krishna says that all those things have happened because of this Smriti Bhramsham. Once you have lost your Smriti, the identity with the soul, once you have lost it, these things will take over. One of these things will come. And that depends which one comes on the front, that will follow with that. Will go along with that. So, then what will happen? Our inside, we have made the decision. This is what I want in my life. I want to become wealthy, or I want to become famous, or I want to have followers, or I want to get this or that. Once in a subtle level, a decision is made inside without your knowledge. You may not have made that decision on a determined way, but it has already decided inside, before you have done that. And once that decision is made, Krishna's saying is there that your work will start in that direction, for that, in that direction. So once that happens, you have to work for it in this world, isn't it? Once you start that kind of work, raga dvesham will develop. It is bound to develop. Anywhere you can see, people have to fight to get to that position, isn't it? Raga dvesham will develop. So that means you have to work within the community, within the society and all that. And ultimately what will happen, you will get caught up in this so much that you won't be able to come out of it. This is happening all the time. If you look into most of these politicians, businessmen and like that, all sorts of people who are very ambitious in their life, which is, they are driven by that, isn't it? That ambition for name, fame and wealth and all that. Practically what's happening is, it's not that they are happy in that state. They have got caught in that. They are unable to escape from that. This is in their life what mostly happens. That if one has lived a life like that, making a lot of money or big famous fame in this world, after some time it gets difficult to come out of it. You see, once you have made so much money, then it has become so much a habit inside. If you are not making money, you can't sleep then. This stage will come. Once sometime happens like that. We had so many experiences like that. Sometimes you go and meet some people, they are close to 75, 80 years old. And when you talk to them, some of the things they talk to you, it shocks you that any moment they could be gone from this world. But he is feeling that I am not making enough money in life. What do you do with them? When people come to that, 85 years, 90 year old people, sitting in front of television and watching the share market prices, very seriously. Looking at it, the share prices, has it gone up or gone down? Now, what do you tell these people? What can you do with them? This is an important question, isn't it? That if a stage has come like that, it is a perfect example of Smriti Bhramsham. That they have lost it. You can't do anything now. All they can do is, till the last minute, before they fall into the pit, keep watching the television and the share prices. What else can you do with them? This is what I am saying, that Prajna Shuddhi, spiritual life, all this at a particular age, if you don't do it before it's too late, then it is late, never going to happen. It's not better late than never. No. It is right now, it should be done before it's too late. Before it's too late. So, spiritual life, we have to give importance to it. And as I said, we are all householders, we are all close 50 plus, and there is not a lot of time left. If you don't give importance to it now, we can forget it. It's not going to happen later. And sometimes I mentioned before also, these people, you know, they'll sit and watch television chanting and watching the share value. These are people like this. Now, what is that chanting? What does it mean? Does it mean anything, this chanting? They're watching the share prices and they're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So this type of people are there in this world. They will not give up that because it's so much driven in that way. So I'm saying all these things is that if you want the shanti, if you want peace in this life, if you reach that state of peacefulness inside before death, Krishna says you will be covered. You are protected because that peace will keep you not to accept another material body again. That peace is more important in Bhagavatam. More than anything else, bhakti and all is spoken ultimately in terms of peace. Peace is more important. That mind is not moving anymore, you are settled down inside. This vibrations going on from this way, that way, must come to a dead end some point. And that peace, achieving that peace is what Krishna is saying here, that if you want that peace, you must start the return journey back to the soul. See, return journey back to the soul. So, what now you're saying, reverse engineering, the title they use like that, in the offices they use that, reverse engineering they say. Reverse engineering, in engineering it's okay, but when you're doing with the soul, returning back to the soul again, that is the important thing. Yeah, That means from our gross body, we have to start going inwards to the subtle body, to the deep sleep state. In that way, back to the understanding of the soul inside and getting fixed up there. That is that process what Krishna is saying here. That the way we came is also like that, isn't it? Remember, if you remember in the Bhagavatam, we discussed this. How did we come to existence like in this form? He started from deep sleep. From the realized state, we fell into Turiyam, to the deep sleep, and then to the subtle body. And from subtle body, that means from Karana Shariram, it came to the subtle body. Karana Shariram is the state in the, Karana Shariram is with all the vasanas and the soul existing. Vasanas all are in the sleepy state. And then from there, we came to the subtle body, where Karana Shariram files were transferred into the subtle body. And while in that subtle body, it developed into the gross body. And now we are fully developed body in this gross body, with the subtle body, Karana Shariram, everything together, and all the vasanas inside. If you start the reverse process back, leave the body back behind. It's not me. I'm not this body. Leave it behind. Come to the subtle body platform, leave the subtle body. Go back to the Karana Shariram, which is the state where there is avidya existing, ignorance is there, but false ego is gone. And from there, through process of this reverse process, we go back to the soul again. That is what Krishna is saying. And sometimes sannyasis speak about this in a very nice way. Once one boy came and he asked a sannyasi, he said I'm coming from Andhra Pradesh, he said, Sunidhi's country. And he said, I'm coming from Andhra Pradesh. He had his own spiritual master there. And this spiritual master had sent him to travel around to understand this world and find out how you could realize the truth. He gave these instructions. This always happens. In the past, it was like that. Spiritual masters will tell the disciples that you should travel. Remember, Ramchandra was asked to travel by Vasishtha. Vasishtha told Ramchandra to travel around the world, see the world, and then come back, he said, before you can really develop that spiritual inquiry inside properly. And it is in these travels that they recognize, learn many things. When they went with Vishwamitra, Vishwamitra showed them what life means in this world. Otherwise, while living in the palace, they won't know these things. So similarly, this boy was asked to go. And he went and he met this sannyasi. So he stayed there. Sannyasi was a very nice person. So he was staying there in the ashram. And he asked this sannyasi that, how will I find the self? How will I find the self? He kept asking. When he kept asking, he won't answer. Sannyasi wouldn't answer anything. And there were many other people who were sitting there with this sannyasi there. So one day, after many days, he was staying in the ashram to have this association with the sannyasi. He was at Jnani. Jnani's association, he was relishing that. And he saw a lot of people were coming and they were all sitting there. But there was no discussion about anything. They were all just sitting there. As I mentioned, the power of presence was so good. So this young man, he had this question inside. How do I realize the self? So eventually, after many days of stay there, one day sannyasi, initially sannyasi was not responding this question. Every time the boy raised a question, sannyasi will keep quiet. He won't answer the question. So he, on one particular day, sannyasi decided to answer him. So the boy says to sannyasi, how do I go back to the spiritual soul? He says, go back the same way you came, he said, and left him. So he told sannyasi that I come from Andhra. And sannyasi told him that go back the same way you came from. So he took it that he has told me to go back home to where I came from, he said. But those who were sitting there, who were used to this kind of expressions, he started turning around and telling them that, why is he upset with me, asking me to go home, he said. So some older people who were there in the assembly told him, you have not understood what he said. What he is telling you is not asking you to go back to Andhra. What he is telling you, that you start searching inwards. looking for that soul inside, start that process. In other words, start Atma Vicharam, thinking about the soul. That should begin now. Once you begin that, that process will take you there at the point. So, jnanis and devotees sometimes will give instructions like that. And if you get it from the right source, it will work. Provided you get it from the right source, one who has realized the truth. And that person, that boy, later on, took that instruction so seriously, when he understood the beauty of that instruction, that he went back and he became a great personality later. Self-realized soul, he became himself. So such things can happen in life when one becomes spiritually strong and genuine spiritual thoughts develop inside. And that is what Krishna is saying here, that the go back the same way you have come and then you will find the answer. You already got the instruction, what you have to do. So, so wherever this false ego has woken up, and we have to go inquiring, where did this come from? That my ego has developed. That that's what that is in that verses. So, when you keep on inquiring, you can see that the false ego is coming from inside. It's not coming from outside. And if you keep on looking at the root, just like we say, when you wake up in the morning, that when did this I thought comes in me? At the point when I woke up, isn't it? Meaning that I became conscious of my I, identity. That aham kriti. Should at that point you will know your pure consciousness is different from this. This is polluted consciousness. Which one? This identity with I. False ego is a polluted consciousness. But there is another consciousness inside which is pure. And that is a spiritual consciousness of the self. I am what I am. And allowing this false ego to go and dissolve itself in its origin, that is known as tapasya. Tapas is that. That is tapasya. So in order to do that, one has to have satvagunam. And the satvagunam, not ordinary satvam, the satvagunam which is pure. Shuddha satvam. Shuddha satvam has to happen. So only if the satvagunam is pure, then this aham spurti, we will be able to give attention to. Aham spurti inside. Aham. So it is for creating this satvagunam, Rishabhadev says to his children, isn't it? I am Deho Dehavaja Anraloge Kashtan Kamanarkadam Vidbujamye Tapo Divyam Tapas Putraga Yena Satvam Shuddhyed. You know, Satvam Shuddhyed means purify your existence and Satvagunam inside. And Satvam Tapo Divyam Putraga Yena Satvam Shuddhyed Tasmad Brahma Saukhyam Tvanandam. He says, the result of that, Tasmad Brahma Saukhyam Tvanandam. Unlimited Brahma Sukham, Brahma Saukhyam will come from that. So, Krishna's incarnation is Rishabhadev. Rishabhadev is telling his children at that time that develop this way of internal going forward, internal looking. Father is advising the children to do that, how to look internally and how to develop internally. So, so what did he mean by that, saying that to his children? Basically, he's telling them that don't be in contact with sense objects. Keep your senses under control, leave alone, and develop this on a spiritual level all the time. Out of the 100 children he had, you know, Rishabhadev had 100 children. Out of that 100 children, Bharata Maharaj was the eldest one, isn't it? Whose name Bharata Varsham has come. He is the eldest one. He was given the responsibility of administration of the planet. Out of the 99 balance left, 9 became the most powerful yogis. Remember? Kavi, Hari, Andarisha, Prabuddha, Pippalayan, Avirhotra, Drumila, Chamsa, Karabhajana. The 9 powerful yogis. So, 9 plus 1, 10 gone. Then we have got 80 left. Isn't it? 80 left. No, 90 left. 90 left. So out of that 90, 81 became Vaidya Yagya Brahmanas. And 9 of them were specialists in performing sacrifices. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see that. So all of them took to spiritual path. That's what I'm saying. All of them took to spiritual path. And all of them went in the direction of self-realization. Although through different processes. It's only Bharata Maharaj had to come 3 births later. Because he has become a king. Because of that he had to suffer. He has to come back again as Jadabharata and the deer. 2 bodies he had to accept more. Whereas others all escaped before that. So you can see that the Rishabhadev's instruction was like this. That if you want to perform tapasya and to develop this internal looking nature and internal development, we have to keep away from the sense objects. It's absolutely necessary. Can you imagine if the whole day I'm watching television, if I want to meditate, will it happen? What will happen in my meditation? All that what I've seen in the television will come in front of me in my meditation. So if you want to absorb mind in things like that, you have to learn not to allow any of the 5 senses to get caught in anything. That's an absolute requirement. That's what Krishna says there, that if I wake up in the morning and 2 hours I have to chant my rounds and do my meditation, rest of the time I have other things to do. This is our approach sometimes, isn't it? But as soon as I sit down for my chanting the holy name, and what will happen? Serial after serial will come. First Coronation Street will come, and then Eastern Days will come. On the same serial way, it will come. The serial will come in a serial way. It will start coming inside. So we have to know these things, that all these things are problems in spiritual life. Knowing very well, we should avoid them. There's nothing else we can do about it. If we want to progress spiritually, we have to keep away from them what will cause disturbances inside. And if you do that, you will notice yourself, your own mind becoming peaceful. And you will practically, it will go in the direction of self-realization, of inquiring after the truth. So, the important thing is that whether it is you or me, it's the same thing. It's not different for anyone. All of us, it is in the same situation. So, instead of that, if we keep on gossiping, the same thing will happen. From gossiping also. If we keep on gossiping means always finding fault everywhere and everything, and that will become our meditation then. Isn't it? That will also become our meditation, and that will come inside. Without leaving us, it will continue with us. It's the same thing with all other emotions also. Envy. And whichever emotion is powerful, that will come up on the top of everything. Out of all the emotions, emotions are many, isn't it? Lust, anger, greed. Then kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam, envy, jealousy, all these kind of things. These are all emotions. Out of all these, which is the most powerful one, that's the one that will come on the top of everything else. So, once this, if you don't allow to have any powerful emotions inside, you will not have attraction and repulsion from anyone. It's easy to understand, isn't it? Because we have powerful emotions operating inside, that is why we are getting attracted to people and we are getting repulsed from people. No? Agarshanam and Vigarshanam it's called. So if your emotions are not powerful, they're not so powerful inside, you won't feel attraction to anyone, nor you will feel any repulsion from anyone either. So if there is no envy, if there is no envy, there will not be any feelings inside. Dvesham. Dvesham means hate. From envy comes in the form of hate, isn't it, to someone. And all kinds of desires will not develop inside, or attachment to anything. Or in other words, even if you keep on conducting your business in this world, mind will be peaceful. Mind will remain peaceful. Now we may say that, oh, this is all not practical in life. Practical, yes, because we are not given any chance for it, to do it in our life. So mind will be peaceful. Then this state of mind, when you can operate peacefully in this world, Vedantists call this as a sahajasthiti, sahajam. That means our natural state is that, to be like that. Our natural state is to be like that. Some people you can see, they're always blowing hot and cold all the time. Isn't it? In the offices and all, when you work, you will experience that. Some people, they are very much driven by this rajogunam, tamogunam. What happens? They'll become very fiery and become very, very, very aggressive all the time. Sometimes they are peaceful. You don't know which moment they'll blow up. That type of people are there in the offices. You will meet such people, isn't it? And you may feel sometimes sorry for them because they have taken a lot of responsibility on their head in their desire to become an important person in the company or a position in the company they are aiming, looking forward to reach there. So they have to establish themselves to prove to the bosses and management that I am the right candidate for that. So in order to do that, they will act in all these kind of things to put themselves up in front of everything and to get their way through. They'll push others to follow them. And if you don't follow them, you become his enemy. Like this, it develops in the offices, especially working with people. It's a common thing. It always happens. So naturally, when they don't get their way through, they get angry with you. And that is, when they get angry, then the next thing they'll react to that situation, isn't it? So when we become serious about spiritual life, we have to look at it properly, all these things, what we are, how we are dealing with this world. That's the first thing to look at, how we are dealing with this world. So Vedantist calls that sahajasthiti is this, that even when all these things are happening, it is not affecting you inside. That's what is called sahajasthiti. In other words, you have not particularly fond of anything and you are not particularly hating anything. This state of steadiness inside. This is peacefulness. Particularly you are not fond of anything and not you are not particularly concerned about anything, nor you are hating anybody. Particularly hate anybody or love anybody for that matter. In that way. How is that possible? Because a state has come in your inside, a realization has come that everything is soul, everything is Brahman. That is what is existing. And if this knowledge has grown inside, that equality of vision will also be there towards others. Equality of vision will also develop inside. Very peacefully this has to develop inside. Not forcefully, peacefully it has to develop. And if it develops peacefully inside, then while dealing with this world, life will become a lot easier. So Krishna gave a name to this earlier. If you remember, it was called Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. Remember that word we discussed before? There, Krishna's call, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, is that making that decision that self-realization is the most important thing. I will work in that direction, come what may, in this world. And in this very life, I want to escape from the grips of this conditioned state of Maya. I want to free myself. Don't want to come back here again and accept another material body. This definition, this decision we have to make within ourselves. Krishna calls that as Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. And a person who has that Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, his nature will be like this. The way he will deal with the world. Nothing in this world will disturb him. Because he does not give more importance to it than what it deserves. Whether it is office work, or whether it is a family life, or whether it is community needs, or whether it is something else. No. Important thing, my self-realization is more important than anything else. Other things are secondary to me. But you don't have to go on telling this to everybody. You have to make that decision inside. That's why it's called Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. So you will see this verse Krishna spoke about. Vyavasayatmika Buddhi is the first step for Sthita Prajnatvam. Before we get talk about Sthita Prajnatvam, that this whole jagat, the world, is nothing but Krishna, who is present in everything. If that develops inside our thoughts, if that understanding develops in our thoughts, then we will deal with this world keeping that in the perspective. That this whole world is Krishna's presence in everything, in everyone, every object is nothing but Krishna present in another form. If you take it that way, this is an advanced state understanding. That's why Shastram is telling us all the time that don't glorify, don't condemn anyone. Why? Because if you do that, this state is not possible to reach. You can't reach that state. In order to develop this state of consciousness where you can see in everyone without attachment and aversion, without ragam and without dvesham, in order that to happen, you have to see Krishna's presence in everyone. So in order to develop that understanding, once it has developed inside properly, with that understanding, you can do vyavaharam in this world. It will not cause any damage. Otherwise, if you deal with this vyavaharam increases in this world, you know this word vyavaharam, isn't it? If vyavaharam increases in this world, what will happen is ragadvesham will happen. So, the process, what Krishna is recommending, that develop in such a way that go back to the soul, and with that understanding, understand also that Krishna is present in every living entity. And little by little, if this realization comes inside, Krishna says, even if you deal with this world, you won't be affected by that. Now, important thing. When we are discussing all these things, it's all coming from Bhagavadam. Don't misunderstand that. In Srimad Bhagavadam, in the sixth canto, there is a story of Vishwarupa. You know, Tvashtra Vishwarupa, that story. Story means that's a fact that what happened then, at that time Ritrasura came out, isn't it? In there is a chapter called Narayana Kavacham. You heard about that? Narayana Kavacham. It's a famous chapter in that sixth canto. This Narayana Kavacham, if you read in the Bhagavadam, it tells you, Parikshit Maharaj wanted to know Narayana Kavacham. So, it is using this Narayana Kavacham that Indra acquired strength to fight with the demons. All these things are mentioned there. In the Bhagavadam you will see. And one whole chapter in that sixth canto is this Narayana Kavacham. What that Narayana Kavacham is. So many devotees, they recite this Narayana Kavacham because it is so powerful and it protects you from attacks. And Krishna's different incarnations protects you different parts of the body. So it was a way of chanting that Narayana Kavacham with the proper assistance to how to recite those verses with the proper understanding. There's a way of doing that. Some highly elevated devotees, they recite Narayana Kavacham. Now it's available on CD as usual. Everything is available on CD. And the funny thing is, a lot of this is wrong also, what is on the CD. Somebody has chanted and it's all mistake, complete full of mistakes also. But worse than that is something else. Worse than that is that Narayana Kavacham has some meaning to it. Without understanding the meaning, simply singing Narayana Kavacham won't help. That's when you try to understand a culture, particularly Vedic culture, where there is so much subtle things involved, and when we are so gross ourselves, the whole thing becomes a very mockery altogether. So sometimes when you see devotees' enthusiasm to study Narayana Kavacham, they are inquiring, where can I get the CD? Where can I hear that? So if you tell them that, look, it's just not the CD that Narayana Kavacham is. Narayana Kavacham is a lot more than that. If you try to explain to them about Narayana Kavacham, then they think it's too complex. It's difficult to take it on board. They find it very hard to take it on board. But they are thinking, there's a shortcut, this Narayana Kavacham. I can just recite the verses and everything is, I'm covered then, like an insurance policy, something like that. They think like that. A lot of devotees I have spoken to like that. They have asked me about Narayana Kavacham. And I could see from the way they brought up the issue that they are looking for insurance cover. Basically, it was insurance cover they were looking for, Narayana Kavacham. So, this Narayana Kavacham in the Bhagavadam has very deeper meanings behind it. And when that is why normally in Bhagavata, Saptaham and all that, They'll just read through this because they know very well ordinary people won't be able to correctly pronounce the mantras in there, and perform the chanting of this Narayana Kavacham properly requires training also. And as I said, in the modern world, because of this technology's availability, people think everything can be done through CDs and cassettes and all that. So it doesn't work like that. So it is in the sixth canto, eighth chapter. That is what Narayana Kavacham is all about. So there is a verse in that Narayana Kavacham. What does it say? Yeah, it's the 31st verse. Yadahi Bhagavan Eva Vastuta Sadasachayat Satyenanena na Sarve Yandu Nasha Upadravaha. This is that verse in the Narayana Kavacham. One of the important verses. And this is the key verse in the Narayana Kavacham. This particular verse. Yadahi Bhagavan Eva Vastuta Sadasachayat Satyenanena na Sarve Yandu Nasha Upadravaha. Actually, what that verse is saying is that this whole jagat creation is Krishna. Only Krishna is in this creation. And because it's only Krishna in this creation, whatever disturbances I am feeling, let that all go away from me. Because it's only Krishna there is in this creation, let that all leave me. How will that leave me if everything is Krishna? If everything is Krishna, remember this, if everything is Krishna, I have no special attraction to one thing or the other. Do you understand that mood we are trying to create inside? If everything in this world is Krishna, there is no question of me picking one and choosing one. Isn't it? Where is the question of picking and choosing coming from? Picking and choosing is coming because in our mind that duality is working very strongly. That's where this picking, choosing coming. Isn't it? So this verse is telling us, Yadahi Bhagavan Eva Vastuta Sadasachayat, that there is only Bhagavan, Krishna is in this whole world, whole creation, in everything, whether it is animate, inanimate objects, whether it's individuals, living entities, or trees, plants, birds, bees, in everything there is Krishna's presence there. If it is like that, where is the question of me picking one and choosing and leaving another one? That question doesn't arise. Because if I... But that vision has to come first. So Bhagavatam that is saying here said, all the names and all the forms in this creation should, if we remember that it is Krishna who is present there, if you constantly remember that, we will lose that speciality what we feel towards one. Do you understand what I'm saying? That the, you see, why do we get attracted to one person specially and not to another person? Because we have found something special in that person, isn't it? That's why that attraction has come to us. So this is called speciality, a special relationship with somebody. And and this speciality should go from inside. Because it won't go unless you see in everything the same Krishna's presence. Yeah. It is a higher realization, no doubt about it, but it must happen in us. Otherwise we cannot make progress in spiritual life. It's not possible. Because now when you start seeing speciality in people, what happens is you will start selecting them. You will select some people, you will reject other people. If that happens, that you are giving importance to the name and to the form of that person. But inside the name and form, there is only one thing, that's Krishna, inside everyone. And if we recognize that, and if we go all the time with these thoughts in mind, you will not feel any attraction towards anyone or any repulsion towards anybody. This is a very important aspect of Narayana Kavacham. The Narayana Kavacham is telling us that let me see Krishna's presence in everything. Yadasi, yadahi Bhagavan eva, only Krishna in everything. Vastuda, and that is only vastu, the truth behind sad, asad, echayad. The sad, asad, all is secondary. The sat substance is only Krishna inside. Satya ananena na sarve. There is no other truth except that. yandu nasham upadravaha. And that understanding, let that protect me from all dangers in this world. This is how Narayana Kavacham puts it to us. So in other words, Narayana Kavacham is saying to us that let me develop this understanding that everything in this world is Krishna's presence. Krishna is present in everything. Due to that, let me not develop any attachment or aversion to anything. By being in that consciousness, if I live in this world, I will not develop raga dvesham towards anyone, because I am recognizing Krishna's presence in everything. And not only that, it will leave me in such a way that I won't feel a speciality towards anything. Attraction, repulsion will go away from inside, and the result of that will be that I will naturally become peaceful within myself. So otherwise, what will happen is, two things will always get inside. Moment you start giving importance to one thing and not to the other, ragadvesham will develop. Ragadvesham must develop. Ragadvesham must develop. Dvesham means coming from envy or anger. Raga means in the form of attachment, isn't it? Ragam and dvesham, out of those two, ragam is attachment and dvesham is aversion. Either of them will come in the form of an emotion inside, and if I go away with raga dvesham towards anything, that will stay in my mind. And that is how the meditation starts. Remember, we talked about meditation, dhyanam. So when does the dhyanam starts? When raga dvesham has developed inside. Suppose a particular person, you have got some importance you felt towards someone, and you started thinking, oh, it's important. Some little thought like that is sufficient, and automatically ragam starts building up inside. Or some enemy comes to you, and immediately you start thinking him in inimical nature. That thought of enmity is sufficient, aversion has got inside, dvesham has got inside. It all happens very fast, isn't it? Raga dvesham. So ragam and dvesham, Krishna says, will develop into dhyanam, meditation later, in the form of dhyanam later. So sometimes we have no connection with someone, but somebody tells you he is so and so, such and such a person has come. Immediately start thinking, who is he? And if he is some important personality, you'll keep looking at him all the time. Your attention will go to him. That time, Salsangam has gone, Bhagavad Gita has gone, whole mind is gone after him. That it happens. It's a natural way of the response from inside. That if you are not giving attention to that, then it's gone. So, Krishna points out one important thing here. That what caused this situation, first of all? Because a person came in and somebody mentioned to you that he is an important person who is either a important personality in some way. So some sound has you heard. You heard some sound like that. And from that sound, all these changes have happened inside, in the person. Isn't it? So suppose you didn't know any language. What will happen? You won't understand. The person who had come will have no impact on you, because you don't know anything. Because there is no communication, has not happened, isn't it? So if there is no language, then nothing will disturb you. So language, what it does is, it creates certain feelings inside. It creates certain feelings inside, although it really has no meaning, but it creates in you and it goes away. That's what the language does. Sometimes when you think how these emotions build up inside, it's very interesting to watch that. Somebody has spoken something. Suppose you don't know the language, you won't be disturbed about it. But suppose you have a list of all the swear words, which you know, and somebody has sworn at you, you take it very seriously. You take it very seriously, isn't it? Suppose you don't know the language, you won't take it seriously, because you don't know it, nothing has happened to you. So who did the damage there? The language has done the damage. Language created that emotion in you, isn't it? Language created that emotion in you. It is called bhavam. The bhavam was created by those words. what is heard by this ears. So every sense can deceive you in the same way. This is nothing but deception. You are getting deceived by the sense. So that sense, that particular language has come and created a certain emotion in you and left. And it has planted the seed and it has gone. And from now on it will do its own job inside. Meditation will start and naturally it will happen. I'll give you another example. This is how the ears deceive you. Now, when you walk through the high street, sometimes in the summertime, say July, August time, when you walk through high street, sometimes you will see some artist there. Isn't it? What these artists do? They are some kind of people who don't make a living by working or anything, but they are good at art. So they'll come and draw some colored powder or chalk or something, and they'll draw some picture in the town center somewhere. And some great personalities like, say, Churchill or Margaret Thatcher and people like that. Yeah, they'll draw this picture and they will sit a little away with their hat there. People will come and they look at the picture. And they look at the picture and they'll appreciate the picture, what they have drawn, because it resembles so well. It's done very well. So they'll put some 10p or 20p or 50p in the hat and they'll go. So he will sit there morning to evening, collect this money, and in the evening he'll take a brush and wipe the whole thing off and he will go. So what has he done now? All he has done was, there is no Margaret Thatcher there, there is no Churchill there. He brought some color powder and on the ground he has put some forms, he has given some form there. He drew some form there and he sat there. So simply by using that color powder and the ground, he succeeded in creating this image in your mind of that person. Isn't it? So naturally you can see there how powerful these senses are capable from the name and the form to develop emotions inside. Yeah, the name and the form has created all these emotions inside. Suppose you are a Tory, you will be happy to see Thatcher there. Suppose you are a Labour man, you see Gordon Brown's picture there. It depends, everything. Isn't it? Inside, whole world is already inside us. Whenever you get these senses talks to them, we'll discuss this in the Bhagavatam later, much more in depth, much more interesting also, that whenever you come into contact with sense objects, how the senses start functioning and disturbing the mind and moves the mind, all because some silly thing, some color powder and the ground has done that job. Only thing is, he put it in such a way that it created that bhavam inside you. Isn't it? Bhavam inside us. So that is what Krishna is saying here, that if in a state where that before you give life to such a thing, remember Krishna's words on this. Vachodidam tadamardam ekadashaskandam. In the Krishna's words are very powerful there. He says, Vachodidam tadamardam. If you have heard anything, any sound vibration, and if it is creating any emotions inside, Krishna is saying, take it that it is false. It is false because it has come through falsity. Actually, you were not disturbed about it before. Only when the sound came to you through your ears, you got disturbed. Isn't it? So, vacha means this power of the word, how it has created such strong emotions in you. Krishna says, Kim badram kim abhadram va, what is auspicious and what is inauspicious in this world? Dvaidasya vastu na kiyat. There is only dvaidam, duality in this world. And in the middle of that, Krishna is saying, Vachodidam tad anurdam manasom manasodhyadam eva va. That when everything is so false, when everything has no meaning in this world, you are giving importance to it because some sound has come through your ears. Immediately you are affected and carried away by that. So Krishna calls this anurdam. Anurdam means completely false. Completely false. And vachodidam. Vachodidam means the words what you have heard. Vachodidam tan anurdam manasodhyadam eva va. And you are meditating on that and you are suffering because of that. Kim badram, kim abhadram va. What is auspicious and what's not auspicious in this world? That is through the ears. And through the eyes, as we discussed that example, how a particular form you saw and created emotions inside from that, and suffering from that. Sometimes they say, for example, in India, there sometimes they do, it's like Bhadrakali form, you know, which is a very powerful form. They draw that in the town center or something like that. A lot of people will see that ferocious form. Children see that. When they see that, they get frightened. How they draw it, the picture is drawn. But grown up people who can think, they won't get. But even they will appreciate the form that has been drawn. It creates a fashion, the powerful image of Bhadrakali. Remember Bhadrakali's form in the Bhagavatam? When Jatabharata was dancing in front of him, she started dancing with the heads of the demons. And with the sword, he cut the head of the pujari and all that story, you know, in Jatabharata's story. So all these emotions are created simply by the form. Form can create emotions, name can create emotions, the sound can create emotions. All these are anurdam. Krishna says it is falsity. So, we will discuss tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.